Following podcast contains strong language and may not be appropriate for children and workplace environments.
You're listening to FatCast. We've upped our game. Up yours.
All right, welcome to the FatCast. I am Josh Look.
You didn't have a thing. You need
I don't have a thing.
I don't have a thing. I'm Josh
Look. I'm Josh Look, and I don't have a thing.
And I'm Matt Loader, and I'm all of the things. So we got a special guest.
We do.
Jeff Luce.
Yes.
He's going to handle the news and weather updates.
Absolutely. Yep. ConCon just happened.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was, I think, the best ConCon to date that I've been to. I've been 3 years in a row now. I think only three.
This year and last year were
really last year was real good, too. But I think this year, for some reason, it was just like, I'm like on that level with everyone now, you know? I mean, like, I was good friends with everybody before, but I mean, like, I'm better friends now. So it was really, really savored the people.
Well, I think that's what's good about ConCon is it's more like hanging out with friends.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a big hangout with friends.
Right, yeah.
And it's really good when you have the problem that you don't get to spend enough time with anyone, you feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Played awesome games, too. That always helps. Do play awesome games.
Mm-hmm.
Played, like, nothing but games that I liked.
Got a little after-action report.
Oh, yeah?
The Pretty Pretty Princess tournament.
Oh, boy. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
You sound like... That's like a probe droid sound. Sounds like a probe droid. Yeah, your breaking news sounds a lot like a probe droid.
Well, because...
Probe droid?
I'm going to probe the news.
Yeah, and with a droid.
Yeah, and get to the heart of the story.
Yeah. Chewbacca's like peeking out of the snow while you do this. How much do you think Billy Dee Williams costs? Can we get him?
Oh, a good bit, I think.
Probably.
I think he's pretty successful. Yeah.
I don't know why I laughed at that. It is funny.
Yeah.
That you would say that.
I think he is. Like, I mean, I don't mean like he did other movies that were successful, but I mean, like, if you're Lando, I think you'd have to, like, smoke a lot of crack to run out of money.
He seemed to have a handle on that. Yeah. So, your breaking news.
Oh, the Pretty Pretty Princess tournament.
Yeah.
Was highly successful this year. Most people we've had. Had to turn people away. Josh Lick didn't actually get to play.
I got really mopey for some reason.
He really did.
I don't know what it was. Something came over me and...
I felt bad. We're going to get more sets.
Al got turned away.
Al got turned away. Everyone got turned away.
Everyone got turned away.
Because people pre-registered. That was the thing. Everybody pre-registered.
We got to have a dude at the door with like a velvet. Like a fucking...
A rope?
Rope. Yeah.
Velvet rope?
Yeah, yeah. The rope. You got to get that.
A bouncer.
A bouncer. We got to get a bouncer for it.
A bouncer with a velvet rope. That's what you were looking for.
I like Jeff Luce. Hey, awesome. Then it's done.
A brontosaurus with a velvet rope.
So what's going up with it? What's going on with it?
Well, so every year we do it, and it's awesome. This year I modified the rules a little bit. Biggest change was you had to take a shot every time you landed on the black ring.
If you drink.
And if you landed on someone else, you could knock them. You could punch them in either direction. So you could
force
people onto
the black ring. You didn't actually... See, this is funny. You made this custom ruling when you were explaining it to everybody. You said, if you land on someone, you get to punch them.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were asking, like, oh my God, are people really going to fight each other? Because you never actually said yes or no. They were like, wow, people are going to punch each other.
I mean, that's cool, too.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It's pretty great princess. It's,
also upped the presentation this year a little bit.
It was good.
Everyone's
seen the pictures.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen them.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
They're on the internet.
Yeah, they're out there. Easily obtainable.
Yep. And that was good.
Mm-hmm.
This next year, I got some ideas. Listeners, all four of you, feel free to write in. Give me some some ideas. I'm open to suggestions for how to improve the tournament, improve the staging, the theatrics.
Yep.
If anyone wants to donate wigs or unicorns.
I think you need,
gowns, princess dresses, so forth. Feel free to send those along.
Someone's out there like, I got a couple of unicorns I could spare.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you want to talk about games and what else? What else is worth talking about right now?
We want to talk about.
X-Wing came out since our last podcast. That's a big game. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's been like a year since we had a real sit-down podcast.
Has it?
It has been a year. We did bullshit podcast in the car. We did a really good one at WBC. WBC was really good. A real sit-down and normal episode, not like a special episode. It's been a while. It's been a year.
A very special episode?
This is a very special episode. X-Wing came out since our last one. And that's been a big release.
So
getting a lot of talk.
X-Wing's coming out. It's X-Wing's coming out episode.
X-Wing's coming out episode. Yep.
some of his friends aren't really comfortable with it, but in the end,
right?
Everyone's on board because they really care about X-Wing.
Everyone's all about the X-Wings, but maybe he's a little excited about a B-Wing. There's nothing wrong with that.
X-Wing and X-Wing? No. Actually.
No.
X-Wings only fight TIE fighters. They don't fight each other. It's wrong.
Okay. This whole analogy doesn't work. The whole thing fell apart.
God said X-Wing and TIE fighters, not X-Wing and X-Wing. And Steve.
Yeah. So the Millennium Falcon and the Slave One and the...
Millennium Falcon's big. It's like the size of a baseball glove.
Yeah.
Like a children's baseball glove.
Right.
Not a real baseball glove. No. I don't want to oversell it.
It's
the size of a miniature children's baseball glove.
It's about the size of... It's almost the size of my hand. Almost. I got big hands.
Do you?
Big gloves. You know what that means, man. Big hands, big gloves. Yeah. All right. Let's talk X-Wing for a minute. Al wants us to talk X-Wing. We're fucking talking about X-Wing.
Who's your favorite Simpsons character?
I'm partial to comic book guy, just because he's so similar. He was the guy that owned the comic book store that I went to, okay?
Me too!
The guy who owned the comic book store that I went to, I met him when I was 4, and it was the first fucking comic book store that I ever experienced in my life. I have a very, very deep, long-running emotional connection to that store. And he just recently passed away, but he was
Josh,
comic
you're
book
making
guy.
Shit heavy, man. This is
he,
heavy.
He was fucking comic book guy.
I'm trying to make jokes about Milhouse.
I know, but I'm just... asked me a fucking question.
You took it serious.
He was comic book guy.
Everyone else who went to Buried Under in Manchester can attest to that this dude was comic book man.
What about Milhouse?
Comic book guy. Milhouse, I don't care. He's too fucking...
Milhouse is pretty awesome.
He's all right.
Best character on The Simpsons, Milhouse. Hands down.
I think I like the bus driver better.
The bus driver? Do you mean Otto?
Otto, the bus driver, is really good, man.
The bus driver.
The episode where Homer smokes medicinal marijuana with Otto, and they have the big fish concert on the same day that there's the vote in town to legalize medical marijuana, but they're too busy at the fish show to really fucking vote, and they blew it. And they're like, man, what do we do now? I'm just telling Simpsons jokes now on the air. It's horrible.
It's real funny when you recount entire episodes of the television show. That's what people want.
Right. I tune in to the Fat Cast to hear his Simpsons references.
Well, references, yeah. Just recounting the plot.
Right.
Really,
I was telling one of my favorite jokes from Simpsons.
I mean, do you remember when Bart sold his soul to Milhouse?
Yes, I remember.
And then Bart runs around, and then he has to go to Milhouse is his grandpa.
Mage Wars.
We should talk about Mage Wars a little bit.
Yeah, Mage Wars is a great game that I really enjoy very much. You got the spell books, you're casting spells, you're killing dudes, you're doing things.
It's like Summoner Wars, all grown up.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Not at all.
Okay.
I think it's nothing alike.
It's two wizards battling it out. You got to kill the other wizard.
It's more like magic if I were to...
It's more like magic. You're right. Yeah.
It's magic with a spatial element. You have access to your entire casting library.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, it fills the same design space as Summoner Wars to some extent.
Really? I don't know.
I don't think I'm alone in that.
I think it's superficial at best.
Okay. Well, whatever. It's still awesome.
Yeah, it is.
The new expansion's out, so that's another game. Sad. That has.
You guys,
they only knew, man.
Check this thing out. It's called, Making Out. You should try it sometime. Way better than listening to us.
Yeah. Yep.
Dudes, broads, furries,
whatever you're into.
You want to dress up like a squirrel and go rub on a fox?
Yep.
Do it. Don't listen to this podcast anymore. Just get out there. You're going to die. In some amount of years, you're going to die and you're going to look back at your life.
Man, I should have made out more.
I should have fucked everything instead of listening to podcasts. Yep. Living life. That's what it's about. It's not about listening to podcasts.
No.
Oh, you're in the car, you listen to a podcast? Fuck it. You should have a car panion giving you a hand job.
Yeah, everyone's got one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see that all the time.
If for no other reason than so you can ride in the carpool lane.
Right? Yeah.
Hand jobs and less traffic, there's really no
it's
reason
a win-win
not.
Situation. Yeah,
have you ever been to, share a ride?
Yeah, I've
checked out one of those parking lots? It's like an orgy. It's like Rome. It's like the most decadent Roman orgitorium.
We were talking about Mage Wars.
Mage Wars is cool.
Yeah.
Making Out Wars is better.
Merchant of Venus reprint is, I'm not sure if I'm willing to say that it's as good as there are, you know, Fantasy Flight's Cosmic Encounter, Reaper, I mean, it's kind
no,
of like
it's no
the,
Rex. I mean, come on.
It's no Rex, let's be honest here. It's I don't really think it's any Wiz War either, but it is really well done. It's really well done. I mean, you basically two games in one box.
It's a classic game I've never played. How is it not on par with Wiz War? Because Wiz War is basically just, you know, my understanding of the reprint is it's got the whole classic game in it. It's got everything you want.
Well, I don't know. It's for some reason, like, I really like the game, but it doesn't excite me like Wiz War does. I guess.
Well,
I mean,
is it just that the game isn't as good?
It's just that the game isn't quite as exciting as Wiz War. You know what I mean? I really like it, don't get me wrong, and I like the classic version as much as I like the new version.
I like the art.
The artwork's really fun in the new version, though. Yeah. It's a little old. It's a little overwrought.
I mean,
but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it's not really art, I guess.
It's
really
not.
It's
illustration.
Is the problem there.
Yeah, yeah. Gaming in the last year since we've done our last podcast has kind of, like, spun its wheels in place. There's nothing that really came out last year other than, like, Mage Wars and Netrunner that really caught our attention.
They're really
know?
Fucking good.
They're really great games.
I mean, I think
they're enough to
it.
Carry me. You
yeah,
know,
part
like,
of it is,
to,
yeah, I don't care.
It's enough to keep my interest in the hobby, you know? Like, I'm not quite at that point where I hope it dies a slow, painful death.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just that it has been, I've been hiding my games in a closet, not because I can't stand to look at them, but because they bore me so much. I can't deal with it.
Is this like the anti-gaming podcast? You don't want to play games.
This is one
games.
Where I shred everyone.
I just tell everyone we should make out instead.
Yeah. You know,
don't
it is what
to this
it
podcast.
Is. Don't listen to it.
What if this was like your aphrodisiac? It was like hearing our voices. And, like, you put it on, like, you're like, oh, yeah, you're like, yo, let me put this record on. And instead of putting on, like, Barry White, you put on the Fat Cast.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody to do that and report
this,
back.
This episode, they're like, man, I don't know what it is. For some reason, this usually works.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. Oh, I could do, like, a little Howard Stern thing, you know? Like, just sit on the speaker. Right? That's good. It's all about.
What else is going on? Have you seen any movies recently that you want to talk about?
Friction and Vibrations.
What's happened since our last podcast in movies that you want to talk about? What have you seen that you liked about
it? I watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World a couple days ago.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's a great
movie. I really like it a lot.
Yep.
So, the comic, I reread the comic recently, too.
Depressing.
The comic is still better and way depressing.
It is very depressing. The comic
awesome.
Is great, but it's a downer.
Yeah, but it's a downer in, like, the most magical way.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
Like, it makes
me,
like, want to be 14 and, like,
write
about stuff like that again.
It's one of those things that I wish was out when I was a teenager, because I think I'd be more into it than I am.
Yeah. Like, well, it's very nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know, for...
Yeah.
Like, chasing girls and...
Right. In which case, I don't know, maybe it's better that it did come out.
Drama.
Than it did. Yeah.
But in a positive, fun way. The adventure. There's something very enlivening about that kind of, like, feelings.
Yeah.
Real hard.
Feel alive, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Deep issues on the Fat Cast.
Yeah, deep stuff.
Deep stuff.
Deep stuff. That's why I don't want you to listen to us. I want you to go, you know, chase.
Experience life.
Experience life.
Read some spot. Chase some
after
Scott Pilgrim and.
Chase after beautiful people.
You know, make out with a chimpanzee.
Well, maybe not. Well, like not a real chimpanzee. Just like some weirdo dressed as a chimpanzee.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Amazing Spider-Man came out since our last podcast, and I let you guys borrow that.
It's great.
Yep.
Best Spider-Man movie by far. Way better than all the other
ones. I think that Spider-Man 2 is better, but I think that...
Well, it's cool that you have an opinion. That's really cute.
Yeah.
But...
Yep. I gotta say, the scene with the cranes,
I think we need more pizza, so maybe you go do that while I talk about Spider-Man.
Yep. Right.
The right way.
Yeah.
So that's a story that we could tell. Josh Look hates women.
Oh, come on. That's not...
Does not think they have valid opinions. We're over at Jeff Luce's house playing some something. And Spider-Man comes up. Jeff's wife chimes in. Little Spider-Man opinion. And Josh is just like, yeah,
that's
you're
not so
wrong.
Good. That's what I said.
So,
I said, that's not so good.
And then just shut her right down. Just right out of it.
I was
then,
talking about, like...
And then he slapped her.
I did. After she served us a pull-apart bread.
And pull-apart bread was good.
Pull-apart bread was very good.
You're like Sean Connery. Sometimes you just need to slap a woman.
It may not be very PC, but sometimes.
Sometimes you just gotta slap a bitch over Spider-Man.
You know, it's worse things to slap a bitch over. What else? Hobbit. That's another controversial movie that
I
think both of us really like and
I really
other people
it.
Like to shit on.
I saw it a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of those... I think the problem is you go in with expectations and,
right.
You know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a mix of expectations. It's
I don't
kinda
think it was
like,
perfect.
Well, is it like Lord of the Rings or is it, you know, goofy fun like the Hobbit book is?
Yeah.
And it's
I think it did a good job kind of blending those two.
Yeah.
But I think, I think the thing is it as good as Lord of the Rings? And the answer is no.
No, of course not.
And I think that's why. But I don't think it's possible.
No.
Because the story is just so
story is not as good as Lord of the Rings.
It's a jaunty little tale.
Yeah, right. It was for children. You know,
it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, so do I.
But I mean, the other thing, you know, I mean, that Rankin Bass one. Like,
yep.
I love that movie. That is the movie I've seen the most. Out of any movie in my whole life, I've seen that movie the most times out of anything.
We're differing opinions on that.
Man, I know all the songs. I know all the songs. All the songs.
Down, down to Goblin Town.
15 birds in 5 fir trees. What funny little birds. They have no wings. What funny little birds.
What else come out? What else are we going to talk about? Rain comics?
What about Frodo of the Nine Fingers?
Frodo of the Nine Fingers.
Yep. Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom.
Our podcast is suddenly like those episodes of Star Trek where Uhura decides to sing.
Let's hear your Frodo of the Nine
Fingers. I'm not going to sing Frodo of the Nine Fingers.
Sing one of the other songs. No, that's from the Rankin Bass. I mean, that's from Rankin Bass, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Return of the King, actually, is what they called it.
Yeah. Right.
Oddly enough. But, But that was a good jam. That was a good jam. I want to hear, how about Misty Mountains? You could do that.
No.
Little dwarf song?
I'm not going to do that.
There over Misty Mountains cold.
Is that, wait a minute, that's not the same song that's in the new one?
It is. It is? That's one of the only songs that got translated. Yeah, it's one of my biggest disappointments with The Hobbit, the new movie, was that it didn't have as many songs.
Right.
Like, because they're not long, but I mean, they're like a big part of the story. Like, in the writing, you know, he has all the songs and stuff. Like,
it's a lot of songs in that book.
And I thought that, you know, it was great early on that you had the two dwarf numbers.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. They're going to have all these songs.
And that's it. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is, you know, like the 15 birds and 5 fir trees song definitely would have changed the tone because they tried to make it like super serious that end bit. And like, if you had these like goofy ass goblins, like singing this amazing song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it would have made it a little less heavy.
How do you feel about the white orc?
The whole Azog thing?
Yeah.
I kind of don't care.
Yeah?
I mean, it's like, I don't like it.
Right.
But I also...
But it's not like a deal breaker.
I would sit down and watch a 6-hour Hobbit movie.
Right.
And like not need extra like ups and downs.
Right.
And I understand why they felt the need to add this, so you had more of a dramatic arc film to film.
Right.
And I think it was they needed to do something, I think.
Yeah.
For general consumption at the very least.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not it would have worked well for me,
right.
People would not have been psyched if literally nothing happened.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the whole first movie, and the climactic finish is, you know, Bilbo finds the ring, and they escape Goblin Town.
Right.
I mean, that's, like, good, but it's, like, they didn't really do anything.
Right.
You know, so I get the need for there to be this kind of, like, more... Mm-hmm. You know, tied in kind of thing. And obviously, you know, he's going to be like heading the, you know, armies at the Battle of Five Armies. Like that's going to come to this big head and like, you know, and it's going to make that more dramatic than just this crazy, like murder fest.
It was a lot like Lurtz. I think that's the big orc in the Fellowship of the Ring is Lurtz.
Yeah. They make him like the same guy.
Yeah. Like there's some sort of big boss fight at the end, you know?
Well, Nameless Enemies, you know, is a little,
You know, a little anticlimactic, I think. I think for the movie to stand on its own, something like that was necessary. I think it's necessary.
I like the little backstory bit.
So do I.
I like the little, you know, like Thorin, like, but he could have just died. I don't, you know, like, right. I would have enjoyed him, you know, having that backstory,
right.
Like, you know, a little more like, what was Thorin up to? Like, mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
But yeah, he was just kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Now, like, just, you know, also the timing, it's a little forced, you know, like. Mm-hmm. He's been in hiding for the last 50 years and just so happens
he shows up and finds all the
good timing. Yeah, good timing, right?
Yep.
So it's that, you know, that I thought was a little heavy-handed.
Right.
You know,
right.
Unnecessary.
I was really
concerned about the Goblin King. The first time I saw it, I wasn't too sure about it. And then the second time I was real on board.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, no, the Hobbit's like goofy and fun and sort of silly. And
so testicle neck is totally cool.
Well, the testicle neck, I'm a little, I was more like just his voice, you know, he's like, oh, it was kind of like comic-y sort of thing.
The complaint I always hear And, you know, not to call anyone out, it's always from people who are of an older generation than I am, is that, like, well, the movie was good, but at the end it looks like a video game, and I completely lost interest. I've not just heard it from one person. I think I've heard it from probably about six different people.
What the fuck video games are these people playing?
Cause, right? Like, I know, because it looks really fucking good.
It's a nice-looking video game.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, that's just, I guess, the age we live in.
The other thing, actually, that bummed me out that I also get why they did, again, with the, like, you know, multi-movie story arc,
right,
is Bilbo is a total bitch up until way later in the story.
Yeah.
Like, Bilbo is not stepping up to a fucking orc and, like, trying to stab things. Like,
right. Well,
at that stage,
I mean,
in the game.
They got to make him, I guess, I don't know.
Coming to his own until they escape the elven prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. He's just, you know, he did not talk about bacon.
Right.
At all.
Nope.
And warm fire, and
mm-mm.
You know.
No, he didn't wax on about, like, how much he misses home, you know? Which is, I don't know, the characterization, I guess, is totally off in the movie. And not just with Bilbo, but, I mean, the dwarves are very one-dimensional.
I think otherwise Bilbo was great.
Yeah. I thought the actor did a fine job.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he was a very good Bilbo, just I think there was some of the story stuff.
Martin Freeman, yep.
Yeah, a couple of the story elements were a little...
Mm-hmm.
Change the tone in a way that I'm not too keen on.
Yeah.
It was still great, though. I mean, that's the thing, right? It's not perfect.
No.
But it's still better than most things.
I'm not sure. I think that the big thing is that, like, the Lord of the Rings movies, I kind of feel like these are the best Lord of the Rings movies they could have made. I think I can comfortably say that.
Yeah.
Where I feel
there's a couple things.
There's a couple things, but I think that there were changes to make it more, like, you know, acceptable as a movie. And I feel like The Hobbit, I can't quite say that.
Well, the whole three movie thing definitely is probably
not terrific.
For the better.
No. So that's The Hobbit.
Do we talk about the Avengers?
I don't think the Avengers was out when we did our last podcast.
That was great.
It was really good. It's I've kind of gone through this weird arc with the Avengers where I saw it and I was like, I was totally excited the first time I saw it because it's like, you know, finally here's the payoff for all these Marvel movies I've sat through, for better or worse, you know? And I don't think that was everything I wanted it to be when I first saw it, and I saw it again, like, within a week, and it was just, like, did it more because I had the afternoon free, you know, and was hoping, like, well, I'll warm up to it a little bit more. But now that I own it and can watch it at home, I've kind of been able to appreciate the movie for what it is and what it isn't, you know? It is, I think it's unfortunate that it's another origin movie when you get down to it, because the whole point of these single movies, you know, was to build up to the Avengers. And those single movies have been origin stories. And if there's one thing everyone's sick and tired of seeing in comic book movies, is an origin story. You know? And here it is. The Avengers is finally here. And it's another origin story. You know? So, I think that's unfortunate. But I think that pretty much everything else about the movie is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was great.
A lot of fun.
Who is hotter? Captain America or Thor?
Oh, come on.
Jeff Luce has an opinion here.
He's a fucking god. Plus, he'd probably call you the next day. Captain America?
Really? Thor would call you the next day?
Sure.
No. No, Captain America is the guy who's going to call you the next day.
Captain America is definitely going to call you the next day.
He's going to call you the next day because he's fucking... He'll
drive you home.
Yeah. Yep. He's a gentleman. Yeah. Thor drinks beer by the gallon. And he's a god. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He can totally leave you for fucking dead in a ditch.
Wait,
you know what I mean?
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that Thor is like some sort of like date rapist murderer?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So Captain America for you then?
Captain America, yeah, I think so.
Thor. I'm Thor. He's way musclier.
Okay, sure.
And the flowing locks.
The locks are all right. I'm less.
Yep. How about the beard?
He kind of looks like a super buff Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I think that actor is stuck in being Thor now.
I mean,
everything I see him in, it's like...
What else is he in?
All I hear is Thor. Well, he's in Cabin in the Woods, which I just rewatched last week.
Still haven't seen it.
It's great.
Should.
It's really good, man. It's really good. But yeah, every line of dialogue he delivers, it's like, yeah, I hear Thor. It's kind of like the same thing with fucking the guy who played Legolas.
Orlando Bloom.
His delivery is always the same. And I feel that's the same way about Chris Hemsworth.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know who else Chris Hemsworth is? He's Kirk's father.
Chris Hemsworth? Is that his name?
Chris Hemsworth, yeah. He's Kirk's father in the newest. The J.J. Abrams. Yeah.
So Thor is Kirk's father.
Is Kirk's father. Yep.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. And everything sounds like Thor.
Ah.
Yep.
That's a family tree I'd like to swing on.
What's
Captain America? He was just in something else that I watched.
Chris Evans.
Yeah, he was just in something I watched.
Huh. He's in a lot of chick flicks, so that doesn't surprise me.
I don't really watch a lot of chick flicks, actually.
No?
No.
Well, then what the fuck did you watch with Chris Evans?
I don't know.
That isn't The Avengers, Captain America, or Fantastic Four?
Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a TV show or something.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Oh, he's in Scott Pilgrim. That's right.
No shit.
Yeah, he's the skateboarding evil ex.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't I ever connect that?
Because he doesn't sound like Thor.
Because he doesn't sound like
Thor. Yeah, he's the skateboarding evil ex.
Well, he's not Thor. He's Captain America.
What the fuck is
he? Huh. So, you've got Captain America and Superman in that movie.
Who's Superman?
The vegan boyfriend.
That's Superman?
Yeah, he was Brandon Ralph.
Huh.
Yeah. If you didn't see Superman Returns,
didn't.
Oh man, you are missing out on a pinnacle of cinema.
Really?
Oh, it's fucking awful.
Yeah, Superman is not.
Oh, it's so bad.
Who was it? I was talking to somebody who, my friend Shane.
Yeah.
We were talking about how I think Superman sucks.
Yeah.
And he made a compelling argument.
For Superman?
For Superman, and I was...
Every once in a while, I hear one.
It was good. It was a good...
Yeah.
I don't remember the details of it, but it was basically, you know, like, it's really interesting about how, like, you know, him choosing to do stuff and the way he does things. And, like, he's like, why is he give a shit?
Right.
Like, why is he good? Why is he, you know, like...
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you need to read Irredeemable.
Irredeemable, exactly. I was about to bring that up. Yep.
And so hopefully he's going to read that. But it was a good case
for
Superman. So I was like, oh, Superman's the worst.
I got a copy of Red Sun, finally, for my birthday last year. That's my favorite, maybe my favorite Superman book. It's really up there.
What other Superman?
I like
Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow is good.
That's really good. But it's not really a graphic novel. I mean, it's a great story.
Yeah, but I mean, like, about what other Superman, who cares?
Superman for All Seasons is really terrific by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Everything those guys do is good. So, but yeah, that's really terrific. And what was the other one that I just read? Oh, All Star Superman by Grant Morrison. That's wonderful.
Grant Morrison's good.
Grant Morrison is terrific. What else have we read recently?
Have I read?
We're on the topic of comics.
I don't really read.
No.
Kind of illiterate.
That's good.
Now, I've been reading a lot of books lately, actually, like actual novels.
That's cool.
Stuff. Catching up on some classics.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff that I'd missed.
You read...
Snow Crash?
Snow Crash, which I'm a big fan of.
It was awesome. Really loved Snow Crash.
One of the best first
Necronomicon.
Ever.
Cryptonomicon
is...
Neuromancer is what I actually meant to say.
Yep. Cryptonomicon
is... I'm going to read that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Neuromancer. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say.
Yep.
Cryptonomicon is the one that's 16 million pages.
Yeah, it's real big.
It's real long.
It's real big. Sitting on the shelf, it's like, wow. But yeah, I read Neuromancer. Neuromancer does not hold up near as well.
No.
Snow Crash is a much better story.
Yep.
Neuromancer is, like, the tech in both of them is sort of laughable in some ways.
Yeah.
But the tech being laughable in Snow Crash, it's still, like, a really enjoyable story.
Right.
Neuromancer is enjoyable.
Right.
But it's not as timeless.
No, but it does kind of, is where, almost like an entire atmosphere that you see all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I mean,
came from, you know what I mean?
Certainly, I think it's good. It's enjoyable, but like.
It's not just any one thing about it. It's the entire thing, you know? Like, the Japanophile thing is.
That's weird. I didn't know that that's where that really. Yeah, I didn't realize it was such a, like, everyone was, oh, sushi in this.
Yep. Yeah, you see that all the time.
So many trench coat, long hair, ponytail.
Did the Blade Runner movie come out before or after Neuromancer?
After? Because Neuromancer was like 1980.
Really?
Yeah, and Blade Runner was...
82
Blade Runner
was like, or something. Like, yeah, because it's in Blade Runner, too. I mean, it's, you know.
What else I read? I read the Fritz Leiber.
Those are so great.
Fod and the Gray Mauser. How do you say?
Fofford?
Yeah. Really, really fucking love those.
Really good stuff there.
Really good. Another, I read the Princess of Mars.
Also really
first
good.
First three in the Barsoon, you know?
Yep.
Those, the second two were not as good.
Not quite as good. First one's really good.
First one's great. The second two, he gets a little, he kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. did you read them all back to back?
Yeah, I read all three in a row.
I can't do that.
Like, oh.
I can't do that.
Like, you're still, you know, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you're great. And then your girl gets kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go chase after her.
Right.
And you kill some dudes.
Yep.
And then you make friends with them and, like, unite another Martian race.
The big classic that I finally read is the first Wheel of Time book, Eye of the World. Finally read that.
It's good.
Yeah.
They go downhill.
They go downhill. I'm less excited about reading more of it. But that first one was really damn enjoyable. Really, really,
I mean,
really good
he
read.
He basically spends another 20,000 pages trying to recreate that first book.
Yeah, and that ain't going to happen.
No.
No. Can't really think of any other books that I've read.
I read Accelerando.
I don't know what that is.
It's, you know, like post-singularity, near future kind of sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's not a very good writer, unfortunately. He has good ideas.
Speaking of not good writers, I know that another book that you read that I also read, which gets a whole lot of attention and is complete shit, Ready Player One.
Oh, fuck. That book was not good.
Awful. Awful.
So bad.
Really struggled to even finish
it. It is, like, the most, like, pandering piece of shit.
Yep.
Like, just the worst.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to show, don't explain.
No, it's like
literally explains the rules to Joust.
Yeah, right?
For like
the video
two
game
pages.
Joust. Yep.
I will talk about the rules to Joust.
Yep.
For two pages.
It's kind of like I'm going to do something really cool for all those people that get all these 80s references, and then I'm going to explain it in huge detail for everyone who doesn't. And that really fucking
loses
me.
Totally stupid.
Yep.
Nothing happens for a really long time.
No.
The protagonist is a douche.
Don't care about him.
Just the last 40 pages or so get kind of interesting.
Get pretty
it's
good.
Like, okay, there's a little action. This is
cool.
It's
still awful
happening.
Writing.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty rough.
It is bad. I cannot believe that it got so much attention.
I know.
And they're, like, making this big movie and, like... Ugh. It is not good.
Yeah.
It is really, like... It is nerd shit for people that aren't actually nerds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like I think that pretty much nailed it.
Oh, I want to, like, D&D. Like, yeah, I want to, like, play D&D.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I totally used to play D&D. No, you didn't. You played once, you stupid fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't even know what was going on.
80s nostalgia nerds who, like, aren't real about it, just kind of like, yeah, I grew up in the 80s. I get all this stuff. Like, hey, remember this?
Yeah.
You know?
Do you? Because do you really
Do you
remember
really remember it, though? No. Like, do you still?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like that stuff?
I knew a dude. Yeah. I played D&D.
Yeah.
I knew a guy. I beat a guy up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played D&D.
Yeah. I played D&D once. Pretty sure I won.
Yeah.
Those people. That's what that book's for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wannabes.
I read it because I had read that the guy is a like a real serious Ghostbusters fan, apparently. But...
Well,
I was like, hey, I can get on board with this.
There were some Ghostbuster references.
There were some. Yeah. Yeah. I think that he, like, literally quoted, like, awesome Bill Murray lines. Like, there's part where it's like, you know, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Pretty sure he just straight up drops that line in the book. Like,
I feel like the dude is, like, not a bad dude. Like, I feel like he's a dude that I'd like to hang out with, maybe.
Right, but he just needs to learn how to write.
But he just wrote a terrible book.
Yeah.
Like, he was into some cool shit and was like, it's going to be cool. I got all these cool ideas.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all right, cool. And then, no.
All right, comic I want to talk about. I just picked up the first three volumes this last week. Daredevil by Mark Waid, the newest stuff. Holy shit, what a wonderful comic that is. I'm a big fan of the character, really. I don't think I really give that enough credit, you know? Like, Daredevil has a lot of stuff going on in it that I really, really like. And I think the Brian Michael Bendis run with Alex Maleev... It's one of the best things in comics probably ever. Absolutely love that. And even when Ed Brubaker picked it up, it's still really great. But it's really dark and kind of like...
A head shaking over there.
He's talking about Daredevil, you're not talking about Frank Miller.
Yes, of course. I mean, Frank Miller...
No. Fuck Frank Miller.
Frank Miller, look, it's absolutely fantastic. Born Again, really great, all
Frank
that
Miller's
stuff.
Frank Miller's the worst.
He's pretty bad. The second volume, if you pick up Daredevil Visionaries Volume 2, I kind of think you can see the superhero comic grow up as you read it. Because it starts off kind of like standard in that old school storytelling of comics, and then by the time you get to the end of it, it's kind of like, wow, this is where comics became, you know, into a new era, really. But Daredevil's always kind of been very sad, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of horrible shit that happens to Matt Murdock, you know, so he's kind of... You know, kind of fucking angsty, you know? This Mark Waid stuff totally...
Spider-Man's angsty. I don't know that he's angsty.
I don't know. Al, what do you think? Daredevil.
It's dark.
It is dark.
I don't think he's
fucking blind.
I don't think
he's blind. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have you know that I'm not laughing.
No.
I take it very serious.
But the Mark Waid stuff, this new run, is it's got a little more pep in its step, you know. The artwork is a lot of fun, too. There's a lot of really cool things that happen throughout the page. Can't recommend it enough. Really, really enjoying it. I think it's not getting enough credit. It's underrated. A little old, a little overwrought, but it's great.
I didn't read it, but yeah. I'm going to give it a 7.
It's a flaccid 7.
Oh, I got some D&D stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, next. It's going great. And Dungeon Crawl Classics I'd also like to talk about very briefly. So,
yeah.
So D&D Next, you know, new iteration of the playtest, keep coming out. Been playing that. Like,
yeah. I've
generally kind of
fallen
weekly.
I've fallen behind on it.
Been playing it most weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it gets busy and you miss sometimes.
Right.
We've been playing a while and it's fucking great.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be my favorite edition of D&D.
I was about to say best edition ever.
I think it really is going to be.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, you know, old-style feel, exploration, all that
but
kind of
stuff.
But
still with the modern gaming sensibilities.
Exactly.
Yep.
The armor class goes up,
yep.
Not down. You know,
yep.
a lot of nice stuff. The skills are pretty streamlined. And
yeah.
There's a lot of really good ideas. I mean, it remains to be seen because it's not a finished product, but it's definitely really
fucking good. It's on the right track.
And it's totally free.
Yep.
Go download it. There's no reason to not try it out.
Yep.
Because it's free.
Yeah.
And they have published they have adventures that are all converted for it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's totally free.
Totally free.
Totally
it's
free
a playtest.
Because it's playtest. Yep.
Where do you download it?
You go to you know wizards.com/D&D
website.
Next or something like that.
Yep.
You know?
Just Google D&D Next or whatever.
Yeah, D&D
it's
Next.
Not that hard to find.
No.
Yep.
And it's awesome.
If you're looking to get into D&D, just go for that. Just go for that. Don't waste your money on a shit ton of books right now because it's easy and once.
I didn't play it myself.
Right. Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago at PAX, I ran a one-off adventure that Scott Kurtz and Chris Perkins wrote.
Yeah,
and
for D&D Next.
Yeah, so Next it was like a you know like meat grinder like one-off convention adventure, and it was fucking great.
And I think that's something that Next is really going to excel at.
It's great. I killed two people in the party in the first 5 minutes.
That's yep.
Yeah. All told, I let them come back.
You
know, there were various ways that you could get to come back and
five
stuff like that.
Five minutes harsh.
Well, yeah, obviously, their brothers showed up.
Yep.
So they got to keep playing. You know,
right.
I'm not going to send anybody away from like a four-hour convention slot.
Yeah.
5 minutes in. But it was fucking great to kill them. All told, I ended up, I think, killing 7 PCs through the course of the adventure.
Yeah.
They actually finished it, which was unbelievable. Third level, they killed a purple worm. Just toe-to-toe.
Wow.
Worm. That motherfucker... That motherfucker was doing, like, double their hit points per attack.
Yeah.
But they kept, like, getting super lucky. And they did over 200 points of damage to him. It was unbelievable.
That alone is worth D&D Next. Get to fight a fucking purple worm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly this is going to be up there, too. Is you know, like, for free. You know, just download it and run it.
Very cool.
Fucking great.
Very cool.
Also been playing some Dungeon Crawl Classics.
Yeah, I'm way interested in this. If I didn't just really kind of commit myself to Savage Worlds... I think this is the game I'd be checking out.
Dungeon Crawl Classics is perfect. It's a lot like D&D Next.
Yeah.
It's much more... The big difference is it's
old
much more capricious.
With the new
gaming sensibilities. Exactly.
Yep.
And it's much more random and mean.
Yeah.
Every time you cast a spell, you roll a die. And, you know, you don't run out of spells. You just can do horrible fucking things to yourself. Magic is dangerous and terrifying. You know, you cast a spell and actually you just sprout a tail. Or, you know, like when your fucking hands falls off. Like, it's nuts. Like, there's all these tables. Every spell has a thing where you roll and get a spell check, you know, based on what level you are and how good you are at spellcasting. And the higher your total, the better the thing that happens. But if you roll a 1, like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And then there's other stuff where, like, you know, the more you cast during the day, the more, like, you are to get corrupted by, like, the magical energies. And, you know, they call it the funnel system.
Yeah.
So everybody starts with a few zero-level characters that are just fucking peasants.
Yeah.
D4 hit points. Like, you have, like, a pitchfork and like, a rolling pin, like, your weapons. And, you know, like, you roll on a table to get what your jobs are. And your starting occupation determines what weapon you have. And you just fucking go try to, you know, there's no classes. There's no, you know, zero level. There's nothing. You just survive. You roll your stats, 3d6, straight down the line. That's your stats.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's cool.
Yeah. And you have some people that are, it's fucking really fun to see how, like, it forces you to play because you're not all super heroic. You know,
right.
You're not like, oh, I'll just charge in and fight this thing.
No.
It's like, no, it's a fucking monster. Like, what are you doing, you dumb idiot?
Peasant. You're a peasant.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Even at higher levels, it's still super deadly. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those, like, it's fucking adventuring. Like, if it was easy, everybody would fucking do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the looks of it. I've taken a look at it.
Oh, it's so fun. It looks awesome. It's so fun. Definitely that and Next are just, you know, like, I'm super excited about playing them. And it's so easy is the big thing too. Like, you know, fourth has some cool stuff going on. Three, I really, really liked three. But there's just so much like shit to keep track of and bookkeeping and you know, all this stuff like this. It's like, you can resolve a combat in 5-10 minutes, you know, like, oh, you just kick that goblin in the dick. Cause it's super deadly.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, somebody's getting fucking cut in half in, pretty quickly one way or the other.
Yeah.
And it's also just, you know, yeah, two of you can stand next to that thing. And you hit it. Cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about all the different powers and this and that. It's like, I fucking hit it.
Yep.
Dungeon Crawl Classics has this cool thing that warriors can do that's like a mighty deed. So they can announce whatever kind of crazy shit they want to do on top of it, like cut somebody's ear off or, you know, dive off a table and stab someone. And you roll this other die with it. And if you hit and succeed on this other die, then you succeed in your crazy, you know, thing. So you can still do all sorts of like weird fun shit, but in such a like easy, doesn't bog everything down kind of way.
Yeah.
So it's great.
It's cool.
I'm definitely feeling the other pillars of D&D, you know, the exploration and interaction more so than combat, you know?
Right.
And it's been fucking great.
Mm.
I definitely want to play more of those. Everyone should.
Yeah.
Did you win?
I almost won. Well, the convention slots, actually, when you run those games, did I kill everyone or not?
Yeah.
I got a few TPKs in there.
Excellent.
At PAX, I ran, I think, 26 hours of games over the 3 days. Yeah, ran a lot of games.
That is a lot.
Did not do a lot of sleeping.
Nope.
Had some fun adventures. Got locked out of my hotel room. not wearing clothes.
That doesn't surprise me.
Got a robe situation. Went down to the lobby to get a key.
Pardon my robe.
Definitely standing in the lobby in a robe. That was fun.
Who gave you the robe?
This girl.
Okay. That's cool.
Cover that shit up.
Yeah. She got locked out of her room, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
We were both locked out of her
room. How did she have a robe, then?
Because she just had a robe.
She just had a robe?
Yeah.
Was she wearing a robe?
Yeah, she had some clothes, though.
Okay. Like, so it wasn't totally... Yeah, more than you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details.
All right.
I was very sober at the time.
Yeah. Very aware of what was going on.
Very aware of all the details. I just remember, you know, it was definitely like I walked down and I'm like, this sucks. And then I was like, no, actually, this is fucking awesome.
Like, this is great. How did you not have any clothes when you got locked out of your room?
You know, antics. Up to some antics.
All right, enough said. Yep. Up to some antics.
You know, drinking and you're in a hotel. Like,
yep, right.
Why not get naked?
What do you need clothes for?
Right.
No, I honestly don't really remember the details about that.
Yeah. Oh, we need to wrap this up, because I want to play some games.
Let's play some fucking games. The
end. We're going to play some games. We're going to end the show. Fucking that's it. I'm done. I'm walking out.
Friend Josh Look on Facebook.
Friend me on Facebook.
Follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. That's a waste of time. I'm not Facebook.
I'm done with it. It's old and overwrought.
Twitter.
Hide it in the closet.
Get into the Twitter.
Get into the Twitter. Get into it. Crawl in. Open it up like fucking... Like, you're looking through the curtains of Twitter. You're sticking your head in. You like to watch.
If you would like us to talk about your shit...
Send it to us, you dick.
Exactly. Also...
If you want us to actually talk about games on the show, fuck us. Send us some games.
Fuck us. Exactly. If you want to talk about games, fuck us. So we just talk.
Very fuckable individuals. And send us some games,
too. Trish was telling me she thinks you're very hot.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, you know... Trish and I had some fun.
You've been listening to ThatCast. You can find us on the web at fortressat.com.
All right, this is the ThatCast, and I'm Matt Loader, and I've got a dick.
Beautiful. Run that, baby.
I'm gonna fucking find somebody to play Devil's Cauldron with me online. I don't care what the fuck it takes. I even tried to sign up for Constant World of fucking cocksuckers. Get this. So a game like, say, Devil's Call came out 5 years ago, whatever it is, every post from the day that it was announced 3 years before it was released to today is in the forum heading for that game, Devil's Cauldron. Anyone want to know about Devil's Cauldron? Here. There are 10,364 posts in that com. How do you find anything? I got a rules question. Well, that was answered 6 years ago. Okay, where is it? Uh-huh. So anyway, I'm on Constant World, and I've got all these fucking dumbass war games I'm trying to sell, as I've mentioned. And I thought, well, I could go to their trade thing, and these are the fucking long-bearded douchebags that are going to know what these things are.
Right.
So I go to sign up. Now, any other forum in the last 15 years that you want to sign up for, you sign up, you put in your name, your email address, and one of those little words, so they know you're not a computer. Then they email you a login, or confirm your login.
Done.
No, not so with Constant World. No, no. Okay, no. Do all this, and then you get a message on the screen. We'll notify you when your application has been reviewed.
Well.
That's what happens when Wargamers design a web.
Fuck! That's somewhere, there's some troglodyte with a big beard and little round glasses, maybe a pipe, and he's thinking of all the fucking power he wields by granting access to the fucking holy of holies, the fucking forums on Consim motherfucking World.
This is what Jeff should be reporting as. It never ends.
Hey, the following podcast contains a strong language and may not be appropriate for children or workplace environments.
It's like an Italian 101.
Hey!
Oh, I got a pizza
fire. All right, fine.
The following podcast contains...
I can't find... Not have it be Italian.
Your Watto is weak.
Watto is weak.
He's got to sing. Sing a song that helps.
No.
A Watto song.
Don't you want me, baby?
Oh, boy. Well, this will be fun.